Book of Matthew, chapter 5, reading from 33 to 42. Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh is of the evil one. 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thy way, not away. So as we continue in the Sermon on the Mount, and we are now reading another two principles, what the Lord is communicating to his disciples. From verse 33 to 37, he was referring to the oaths. And 37 to 42, he was talking about our 38 to 42, he was talking about comparison to the Old Testament, how we need to conduct our lives. And in this, verse 33, again, you have heard that it had been said by them of the old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. So in the Old Testament, that is the way it was mentioned. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, we see verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So if anybody takes the name of the Lord in vain, then he will not consider him as guiltless, because if he, as we read in book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. So here we see that there is a provision for the children of Israelites, then they can swear by the name of God. But here in Exodus chapter 20 verse 7, we see if anybody uses the name in vain, then they will be, Lord will hold them guilt. So they cannot just take it as they like, and use the provision of what God has allowed them. So now, because of that, then the children of, when the Pharisees and all, they have circumvented the provision of swearing in the name of the Lord, and started using different names. They said, if they do not use the name of the Lord, then they can still swear. And if they don't want to fulfill, if they do not fulfill the swearing or oath, then that is fine. So we read what the Lord was talking about there, and what they were doing, book of Matthew chapter 23. So verse 15 onwards. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. So ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? Verse 18, and whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth therein. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you. So that is how they used to change and modify swearing, so that if they do not fulfill the oath, they are not considered as guilty because they did not take the name of the Lord. So that is how they used to manipulate what was actually meaning of the swearing. Then they say, for example, in verse 17, ye fools blind, for whether is greater the gold or the temple? So if they take the swear by gold and not the temple, then if they do not fulfill about it, then it is fine. But he said it is the temple which actually brings the sanctification to the gold. Otherwise, that gold has got no meaning. So similarly, the offering, altar and the offering. So it is the altar which sanctifies the offering. So without that altar, the offering has got no meaning there in the temple premises. When the Lord has seen the way they have used these manipulative methods to practice not to fulfill the oath, then the Lord has taught the disciples what they are not supposed to do. Then he said, don't swear at all. I'm reading again Matthew 5 verse 33. Again, you have heard them that have been by the old time, thou shalt not forswear by thyself, thou shalt not perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all. So it is not the temple, it is not the gold, it is not the altar, not the gift. By anything, you don't do that. Neither by the heaven, for it is the God's throne. So when a person is swearing or taking oath in the name of heaven, so there they are not using the name of the Lord. If they use the name of the Lord and do not fulfill the oath, then they will become guilty. So that is how they used to avoid taking the name of the Lord and still not fulfill. But before that, they used to make a oath. Then the Lord said, if you are taking oath on the heaven, on the name of heaven, then the heaven is the God's throne. So you cannot do that. Then if it is verse 35, nor by the earth, for it is a footstool, neither by the Jerusalem. So if you take the earth where the man lives, and you cannot take that also. So that is the footstool of God. So there also God involved. Then he said, neither by Jerusalem, so that is the holy city for them. So that is a big thing if they take the oath in the name of Jerusalem. So he said, no, don't do that. It is the city of the living God. So when our Lord Jesus Christ comes second time, establish his kingdom, and the Lord is saying that his son is going to be ruling the entire world on the earth from Jerusalem. So you don't do that. Verse 36, neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. So then you don't want to take the name of the swear by the name of the Lord or heaven or the earth. Then if you wanted to swear by yourself, your head, then the Lord said, you cannot do that also, because you cannot change one hair black or gray. So that means it is absolutely not in the power of man to fulfill that one. And we are also created by him, and first right on our bodies belong to God. So how can, which is not of mine, I will swear it, and if I am not fulfilling, then if my head is to be cut off or removed, then I don't have any right on them, on that portion. So I cannot put it into vote, and I cannot swear it by my head. So he said he don't do that also. Verse 37, but let your communication be yeah, yeah, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So as the children of God, believers, to his disciples, what the Lord said was, only say what you mean for want to do. If it is yes, yes. If you cannot do it, you say no. But don't take it and make it as a manipulative thing to just avoid the situation which now you are in. So in other words, in a simple manner, what the Lord is communicating, speak truth always. So that is the simple sentence what he wanted to say in that four verses. So when we are, we have something else in our heart and speaking out something outside to avoid the situation or to find something good in the hearts of the people or eyes of the people, then we are manipulating what we are not and telling a lie, and that is not what the Lord is saying. Don't do that. And that is what the Pharisees were doing. And giving the lie and giving a different color, that they are taking the name of God. Not directly name of God, but heaven, earth on their head. So he said, don't do that. So as believers, because the Lord is truth, and when we are not now learning to abide, to live by the truth, how, when the new dispensation comes, and our Lord establishes his kingdom, we are the people who has to see and influence the people to speak only truth. If that is not our experience now, how are we going to influence the people to speak only the truth? It is not possible. But sadly, we may not take vote in our Christian life, but we do not hesitate to change the version and speak differently and make it as something which is, though it looks truth, but it is not. And that is how the Pharisees was also doing. The only thing between them and now what we see is they are taking heaven, earth on their head or different kinds of things, not just taking the directly the name of the Lord, but what they were doing in their life is the same thing. But the Lord, what he is communicating with us and with his disciples is, in our hearts, the Lord is looking, even in our inward parts, he is searching for the truth. So in our heart, and the way the Lord spoke all the time, he said, I am the truth. And he said, that is what we need to know, we need to do in our lives. And by knowing him, he is making us, setting us free. If you know the truth, truth shall set you free. And once that truth set us free, that means in our conscience, what God would approve and what is he asking us to do, when we continue to practice the same thing, then we don't have to get into the problems of taking votes on the different names. Then we can avoid. And then we don't have to take it. Then we can practice speaking only truth. So book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So now, that is, Paul was talking to the Ephesian believers that putting away speaking of lying, everything. Lying does not mean that totally changing everything. It means any of manipulation, just giving a different color or a different connotation, everything you should put it off. And the Lord said, if it is yes, yes, nay, nay. And speak with one another only truth. For we are members of one another. So that is the body of believers who are practicing, speaking truth in their lives. And those are the people who are going to be glorified and come in glory with the Lord to rule upon the earth. So when we don't practice that simple fact in our life, and that honesty is missing, then when the Lord sees in our hearts there is no truthfulness, then it is a sad thing. But there is a doubt question then, is there any exemption for this?
Uncle, in Old Testament, that Rahab, when she hid the spies, and she told the lie that time. But God, in sight of God, then she's God accepted that.
Yes. But that is for her, she was a Gentile that time. That law was not applicable to her.
Yeah, and also the midwives for Moses.
Moses, yes.
When Pharaoh.
Yeah, the Gentiles, yes.
And they are also similar.
Ibrahim also lied that yeah. In Egypt yeah. He said, Sarah is my sister.
In the beginning, when God created man, there was no law till the time of the Moses. So that time, whosoever has committed anything against God's principles. So Lord has allowed it to come by, and they bore their punishment in their lifetime the way God pleased for them. But when it was not coming under control, what has happened was, during the time of the flood of Noah, all that generation was swept away. But then over a period of time, then the Lord, according to the calling of the Abraham, then the nation developed 400 years later. And the Lord gave law to the children of Israel so that they may practice it. So up to that point of time, there was nothing which was abiding, that the people must live for that. Only law was their conscience. So they were not truthful to that. But after the law, then when the law was given, the man found ways how to circumvent that and practice different things. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, then he started setting things right. This is what where we are now in. So now, before the law, where the conscience should function, that was also man did not allow to function towards God rightly. And after the law, the man just lived by the letter, but not the spirit behind that. So that is also not fulfilling the righteousness of God, because they failed to keep that up. But now in the New Testament, as we continue to allow the spirit to function in us, and what God wants, when we are eager to show obedience to that one, and as Paul said, I can do all things who strengthens me. And his strength is made available for all those people, those who wanted to practice the New Testament and live by those principles and adhere to what God is interested to work in our lives. Otherwise, we are not doing what is supposed to be done. Otherwise, we are going back according to the law or our conscience, then those things will not really fulfill. Yes.
Is remaining silent or avoiding can be an exemption? If you
what is in your heart? Yes. What is the condition of your heart? Okay. You are not opening it up, but what if there is no New Testament law working in your heart? What you would do?
I would say yes, yes or no. That's it.
If it is not there.
If the law is working. You see, if I'm sure.
New Testament law is, if you are not abiding by the New Testament law.
Okay.
Saying yes means yes.
And I will say no.
But what would you do that at that time? What was the condition of your heart?
I would not feel sorry to say lie.
That is what is important. So in that condition, you would have said a lie.
Yeah.
But now what God is saying, when you are keeping quiet because he is saying, otherwise you would have said.
Yeah.
But what the Lord is asking us is, organically in our heart, there should be a change only to speak the truth. Yes means yes, no means no. No, that is the change of heart what the Lord is interested to look at us. So not just saying outwardly no doesn't mean that there is a change in your heart.
Yeah.
So the important thing is in the New Testament, not doing certain things or doing certain things outwardly. But the condition of a heart in the presence of God is the most important thing whereby we are not judged on that day.
I said so because we see that in the New Testament, our Lord remained silent on many occasions. He did not give answer.
It is a book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 63 onwards. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. So they are forcing him to take oath and say truth. Are you the Son of God? 64. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. So when he said yes, so when he has forced him to say yes or no, the Lord said yes by making that statement. So in that kind of a circumstances, so suppose I was called into the court of law as a witness. In the witness box, they will ask me to swear by whatever it is, either God or Bible or whatever the custom which is going on. Then I need to take a swear, I need to take a oath there because that is the order of the government. I cannot say that I don't take it. That is what the Lord did it. So that is the only exemption when we see. But when we are talking between a believer and a believer, then there is no question of taking oath. And he's always talking and exercising, practicing, speaking the truth. So that brethren will know that what we say is truth. Whenever we see the uncomfortableness, then to make it known that what we are, there is a hesitancy in our life to say the truth. Are we following that? So what people will think, based upon that one, we change the version. Because we want it to be recognized than actually what we are. So that is the weakness of a man. Then many times, then we say what we are not able to fulfill, we will say because otherwise they would think otherwise differently about us. Either our weaknesses or our inability to do the things, because they may be expecting that we would be able to do that, not to offend them, not, and to try to please them. Then we are changing differently. Then we are slowly drifting away from saying yes to yes, no to no. And then it is not the children of God that what the Lord is interested to see in our lives.
Uncle, the exception is that also includes anything that is lawfully to be sworn. Right, for like the citizenship, or if you go to the court.
Yeah, court, yes. Citizenship also, that is true, because when I took oath, I just skipped saying, and I owe my allegiance to the Governor General or Queen of England. I did not say that. That time, I did not know that there is an exception. So because it is the court, and that is what the government is demanding, and it is not that I am saying anything, but in the spiritual sense, my allegiance is to the Lord. When it comes to the state and spiritual government, in my heart that I have consecrated Lord as my Lord, that still abides, even though I take allegiance to the government head here. And that is what government has put it up, and I need to follow that. See, the problem is when in our heart there is something else, and I don't want to fulfill that, and I intentionally making it up to say something different than what it is, that is what the Lord is does not want to see in believer's life to be practicing. 38 to 42, it will take a little more time. I don't know whether we should do it today or we will do it next time.
If it is no problem for you, we'll continue.
Okay, let us do it.
Thank you.
Verse 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil or the evil one, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So in these verses he said what the law is speaking and what the Lord is introducing to his disciples and subsequently for all the believers. So it was in the law, it is said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. So we read that in Book of Exodus chapter 21 verse 24. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and hand for hand, foot for foot. And also in the book of Leviticus, chapter 24, verse 20. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done him again. And Deuteronomy, chapter 19, verse 21. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and hand for hand, foot for foot. And by the time we can reach Deuteronomy, Moses said, and thine eye shall not pity. So accordingly, then the Pharisees, scribes, and in the before the Lord was the New Testament, actually till his resurrection, it is still the Old Testament continued, and that during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, this was the practice according to the law of Moses, then eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But so it is, suppose somebody has done something harm, physical injury. If you exact the same manner in the same proportion, then you are not guilty at the court of law. So you are exempted and your eye should not even pity. So that means if anybody has done evil, you should punish the evil person by exacting the same amount of that. Either if it is eye, tooth, foot, and whatever it is, and you should not pity. And in the law, what the Lord meant was, if you don't do that, and then there is the lawlessness will prevail. Then if somebody has taken the life of another person, if that person was not charged with a murder and his life is not exacted, then people will not be hesitant to kill people. And lives will be, sometimes innocent lives also may be gone. Then to arrest that one, a lawlessness in the minds of the people, and create a functional law so that in the society, the people will know this cannot be done and this can be done. And those are all necessary for the people to live in a proper atmosphere. So that otherwise, those who have might can rob and can go chargeless. And those who have the criminal mind can kill people but cannot be charged. And those things will prevail. And then those who are innocent, poor and weak in the society will be much more exploited by the mighty people. So to put that back into the order, so that the society can function in a proper manner. In the Old Testament, the Lord has introduced this one so that these things can be, if anybody has done this one, it should be exalted. So that it will prevail a normal functionality in society. But even then, that time also, now also, we see lots of crimes happening and some places exact amount of law is not taken out. So that means if a murder has done committed by a person, and if the life is not taken by, his life is not taken, and people are now not hesitant to kill a person because either he can manipulate and come out of the prison and he can live in the prison, so he doesn't have to pay for the life for the life. So that is how it is happening. But the Lord want either good or bad, that is a different thing. But what the Lord intended that time was to bring the order in the society. Certain rules were introduced and people should live by that. For example, book of Matthew, Romans chapter 13, verse 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do not that which is evil, if you do, thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So accordingly, the Lord also arranged the magistrates or the ministers to execute the judgment those who commit evil. And that is even in the time of Paul, that is what he wrote this one. And which is also prevailing in many countries these days. But the law, what the now, the, but the New Testament, what the Lord is introducing is entirely different. And this is for the believers. And we cannot bring this into the secular society where God's law or God's principles are not practiced. The time will come when the Lord rules, and this is going to be the law which will prevail then. That time, nobody is going to behave evil the way people are behaving now. But what Lord expects in his children, a godly nature should come and exist, and they should practice that. So if it is now, based on that one, he said three things. One, in 39, I say unto you, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. So personally, if you are insulted and violence is taken upon you by somebody, he said, you resist not and let them do it. And you suffer and you bear that one. And secondly, if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have the cloak also. Suppose if somebody charged you falsely and wanted to take away everything from you, and what he said, you give the outer garment and also inside whatever you are wearing, that also give it. And what is according to the law, what is supposed to be given, if you need to pay that one, you pay that one. And more than that also, if they are claiming from you, that also you give them. Then the third one, that is the personal property. So personal property, if somebody wants to rob by different means and make you not to have anything, then he said, Lord, the Lord is saying that, okay, you let them do that. And in verse 41, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So suppose either a government or somebody forces you to do something which is not actually your responsibility or duty, but they are asking you to do that. And if they are asking you to do 1 mile, then if you can do 2 miles, that means more than that what they are expecting from you. And be like a children of the living heavenly God. So in all these things, one is the personal violence you suffer, personal property, if you are being robbed unlawfully, they allow that to go. Or if somebody wanted to compel you, force you, which is not your responsibility to do it, you do it. Then fourthly, he said, give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thy heart. If somebody is asking you something and you don't tell him, when you are in a position to give you and you don't tell him that I don't have, so don't do that. Then he gives the answer in the next passage. But in these things, what we see, while what the people were doing during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, and if anybody has done something wrong to them, then they used to charge them the same amount that they need to pay back. But the Lord is saying, you don't do that. So here, when somebody hit you, smite you on your right cheek, you turn the left also. So it doesn't mean that automatically you do that. But when somebody has smite you on the right cheek, that means he is causing violence on your body. And also if it is done in public, that is also causing you insult. So when you are insulted and also bore the pain on your body, then what kind of a reaction which comes from your heart is more important than turning your left cheek also to him. Even if you turn your left cheek, but if there is no love towards the person who is committing evil against you, then the whole purpose of the Lord teaching is defeated. So in the previous 3-4 verses which we saw, that in our inward parts the Lord is seeking the truth. But in these verses, that the truth is to be manifested in a manner filled with love in our hearts towards the people. When love is missing, even if you turn your left cheek, it is no good. Then again it becomes a law. So because the Lord said, you, who is smiting you on the right cheek, you turn the left cheek. But in your heart, if there is no conversion of understanding how God has shown you love towards you, and you do not want to reciprocate the same kind of love towards the people between whom you were kept, and then we are not fulfilling what the Lord has taught us. And another thing what he wanted to say is, when you are now not turning your left cheek, because of your inability that you cannot attack him and hit him back, if you go back, in your heart there is something, or you have uttered some words which infuriates him, and now you are giving back for evil to evil. So whatever is in his heart that evil filled and hit you, and the same kind of evil, if it is filled in your heart, though you don't do something, but you are in the same level. But when our hearts are changed, so when I am an enemy, my Lord loved me. And when I am actually doing all kinds of different things against his name, but he loved me and saved me. If I really tasted the love of God in my life, And my heart should change towards the people in a true sense. Because we will see some references to that. And how God has done and conducted himself towards the people who has really troubled him. And the same examples then we need to follow and observe the Lord. Follow the Lord. And it is in our lives, that is a very practical lesson. Every day when you are working in a different places, in the families or in different occasions, when you are put into some kind of a very insulting position. And in my heart, I may not be able to do the same thing back to them, or an eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But in my heart, if there is no love of the Heavenly Father towards that brother filled in my heart, then it is no good. So our Lord said in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast his lots. So while they have rebelled against him and smote on his face, but he did not do anything back to them. And on the contrary, the manifestation of God's love, which was filled in his heart as a son of man, he has exhibited the same kind of love what he had before and after also. So book of Isaiah chapter 50 verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and smiting. And the Lord continued to, Lord has exhibited while he was here. And he has what he said, that eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But he said, no, that you turn your left cheek if somebody has hit you on the right cheek. Then he did exactly the same thing. So in book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 53 to 55. I'm reading from verse 51 onwards. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. So while the Lord was with them, then because they did not allow, Samaritans did not allow them or receive them to stay that night, the disciples wanted to call for the fire from heaven to destroy them. But the Lord said, you don't know what spirit you are in. So book of Romans chapter 12, before we read that one, book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. So from now onwards, don't trouble me, because if you see my life, whatever my Lord suffered and not returned anything for evil for evil. Similarly, in the entire ministry of my life, that is what I also did. And those marks are on my body. You can see that. Then the one who has carried those marks in a different letters, he has explained how he has lived his life, especially in 2 Corinthians. But while writing to the Romans, chapter 12, he writes these things. Verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. So if they are persecuting you, you bless them. Then he said, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So if anybody wanted to cause evil to you, then you don't do the same thing to them. And verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So another thing which we can see is, when this all evil, whatever is now going on in the world, will be recompensed, he said, I will, vengeance is mine. He will do the recompense at the white throne judgment. So that time, and everything will be paid back. So till that time, that we should not do what actually the God is going to do to them. 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, that thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. But actually, when you suffer for this cause, when people wanted to harm you, because you are Christian and you wanted to follow God honestly, if they wanted to take advantage and do evil to you, when you suffer, that is good. But there is another step, what we read here, and if they are hungry, not only you don't do evil, but you receive them, and if they are hungry, you give them food. If they are thirsty, give them drink. That is much more wonderful. That is what the Lord did it. So he said, now if somebody is causing you evil and hitting you, smiting you on the right cheek, and you turn him the left cheek, that means not only causing insult to them, you don't do that. You don't use any words. But if your heart is filled with love towards those men, whether a believer or an outsider or a Gentile, whatever it is their condition, then you just not only stop doing violence to them, but with genuine love and filled with in heartfelt love towards them, then if the Lord gives you opportunity to serve them, you do that. So it is a great blessing for us. And the Lord will recompense for that also. So when we are thinking that actually when somebody causes evil to us, or persecute us, or any kind of injury to us, either physically, mentally, our hearts are immediately flares up different thoughts towards those people. But that is not acceptable in the sight of God. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and whatever is my heart filled with, and he would come to know. And not only that, when the Lord brings an opportunity for those to serve those who persecute us and do good to them, if we can do, then we are really the sons of living God. And that will be an amazing character. And Lord takes us through. First, make us understand, bring all our emotions and passions to bring under the subjection of his cross. Then he will also put us into the newness of that life to function, to receive them, to love them, and also encourage us to feed them, to give them drink, to receive them and love them the way the Lord loved. If we can do that, that is what the Lord is expecting from us. So whenever we, as believers, when we go by the law, of either rule or our conscience or what seemingly right in your heart, then we are putting aside all the things what the Lord has taught us and what Lord interested to work out all things in our heart and life. And that will be a big loss for our spiritual growth, and also we are not bringing any glory to the name of God. I think we will stop at this one thing, and the remainder of those two things we can see next time.